Let's turn in our Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. Now, the title of the message this evening is Jesus Christ, the One True Shepherd. Jesus Christ, the One True Shepherd. The scripture passage that Brother Joe read is something that is one that is so familiar to so many people as far as the repetition of it, the poetry of it, the beauty of it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We know that. But what I want us to do is to look into passages that are sort of parallel to that. And this is one in prophecy here concerning the coming of Christ into the world as the shepherd of his people, the one true shepherd. It begins by a prophecy from Ezekiel, a prophecy that the Lord gave him. Verse 1 says, "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying," and he has a message to Israel's shepherds. Now, the shepherds that he speaks of are the leaders of the people. They're civil leaders. They're religious leaders. They're the priest. There are other prophets. And technically, we would say they are under shepherds. God is the shepherd of this flock. Christ is the shepherd of the church. But he has under shepherds, and that's his ministers, his preachers, who he has given what we might call custodial care of the people. The shepherds that he speaks of here, and the shepherds of the church, the under shepherds, we do not own the church. We're not owners of the sheep. In fact, if you go back and look at the culture of that day, the ones who were out shepherding the flock were never owners of the sheep. They were just working for the owner. So we're not owners of the sheep, but we're given, as I said, custodial care. The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, John chapter 10. He's the great shepherd, the great shepherd and the chief shepherd, the bishop of our souls, the overseer of our souls. And that his ministers are under shepherds given that care for his people. Now I'm going to read through all of this passage and I want to just make some comments, but let's look at the first thing that's brought out is God's indictment of false shepherds. Now, not everyone who claims to be a shepherd, not everyone who looks like a shepherd, is a true shepherd of the flock. And here he brings an indictment against false shepherds. He says in verse 2, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel." So this is an indictment. This is a word of God against them. "Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks?" They're feeding themselves. They're in it for themselves and not for the ministry and service of the people. He says, "You eat the fat. And you clothe you with the wool, you kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock." Totally self-serving. Verse 4, "The diseased have not you not strengthened." They didn't see. This is their lack of care for the sheep. "The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away. Neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them." And I thought about that verse there. You know, that is a great description of false religion, legalism. False works religion. It's preaching that does not give a cure for the disease of sin or a healing for the sick. It doesn't bind up that which was broken. It doesn't bring again that which was driven away or seek that which was lost, and with force and with cruelty. That's legalism. In other words, trying to scare people into a profession, trying to scare people into service or into giving or into coming to church. It's like either, it's either the legalism of scare tactics under the law, beating people over the head with the law. If you don't do this, then you'll suffer. Or it's a mercenary religion, serving God for what you can get out of Him instead of because of His intrinsic holiness and value as God Himself. And that's a good description of legalism there. Verse 5, it says, they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. That's the nature of a sheep, isn't it? There's only one thing that can help a lost sheep, and that's for the shepherd to find it. If no shepherd there to find it, that sheep will stay lost or die, and eventually die. Verse 6, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. In other words, these shepherds left the sheep lost. Now, that's the false shepherds of Israel. That's the false preachers. And you know how we studied in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel told the truth. He told the truth. And he told the truth not only of the state of the nation, the wrath of God against their sin, but he told the truth about the only way of salvation, not based upon their works, but based upon the promise of the coming Messiah that would come in the future, he who would come in the future. And the false shepherds kept crying peace when there's no peace. Feel-good religion. There's a lot of that going around today. In other words, a false shepherd is one, a false preacher is one who'll tell you not what you need to hear, but what you want to hear. And that's the thing. They preach a false gospel of salvation by the works and wills of men rather than God's free and sovereign grace through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll talk about love, but they reduce God's love to an empty emotion and good intentions. That's right. But the true shepherd will tell you the truth about God's love, and that's this. God's love is in Christ. And outside of Christ, there is no love of God for a sinner. Outside of Christ. You read the Bible. Now, I know it makes us feel better to tell people otherwise. But it's not the truth. It'd be like going to a doctor and you've got a terminal illness and the doctor says, well, you're okay, just go home and take an aspirin. Now, you call him a quack. Now, the last thing you want to hear is that you have a terminal illness. But if you've got one, you want to know about it, don't you? And if there's a cure, you want to know about the cure. And that's the way it is. The only cure for sin is not just that God loves you, go around smiling. Now, that's not the cure for sin. The cure for sin is God's love is in Christ Jesus. You run to Christ. You press towards Him. You seek Him. You come as a sinner seeking mercy, knowing that you don't deserve or earn anything from God. That's right. Like that old publican, God be merciful to me, the sinner. Well, now He brings judgment. Look at verse 7. Therefore, now because of this, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, no true shepherd. Neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Now what he's done, he's bringing judgment. And then he says in verse 9, listen to this. He says, therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Now God's judgment is against them. But listen to what's going to happen here. Here's what's going to happen. Christ, this the Lord God, and we can see this in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ for His people, His sheep, His church, He's going to save and take possession of His sheep. Now the false shepherds will lead them astray. The false shepherds will leave them lost. But Christ, the true shepherd, is going to save His sheep and He's going to take possession of them. Look at it, verse 10. He says, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against the shepherds, these false shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. Now that literally means I'm going to take them away from you. Christ is going to take them away. And I want to tell you something. That's the only way they're going to be saved, because they're not going to come on their own. People sitting under a false message of feel-good religion, legalism, which men by nature love because we think so highly of ourselves, will not of their own, on their own, leave that religion. It makes us feel too good. It feeds the flesh. It exalts us. And we won't leave it on our own. The only way that we're going to be saved from that false message is for the Lord to take us away from the false shepherds. And that's what that means. And listen to what he says. Now look at it again. I will require my flock at their hand. Literally, I'm going to take them away from you. And I'm going to cause them to cease from feeding the flock. I'm going to cause those shepherds to stop feeding the flock with their lives. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. His deliverance. And I know probably most of you can think about John chapter 10 here. Look over at John chapter 10. Where Christ starts out in this great shepherd analogy. He talks about himself as being the only door into the sheepfold. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. And it says, he goes before his sheep. A stranger will they not follow. That's when he goes and gets them now. By nature, we all follow a stranger. Isaiah 53 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. That's man by nature. That's our fallen Adam. That's our sin by nature. And so he says in verse 7 of John 10, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, and the sheep did not hear them. That's his sheep. I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. That means he's at liberty to feed upon the word of God, to serve God. But look at verse 11. He says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's how he saves them. He gives his life for them. Now, what is that? That's what we call the truth of substitution. The sheep under the law are condemned and deserve nothing but damnation. So how does this shepherd save the sheep? He steps in their place, substitution. And then he gives his life, because that's the wages of sin is death. Somebody's got to die. Why? Because God's mean? No. Somebody's got to die because God's bloodthirsty? No. Somebody's got to die because God is cruel? No. Somebody has to die because God is a God of justice. And that's a lost truth in our society today. He's a God of justice. Yes, he's a God of love. Yes, he's a God of mercy. Yes, he's a God of grace and compassion. But not at the expense of his justice. You see, that's the difference between the God of the Bible, the true and living God, and all these idols, and even what most men call God today out of the Bible, because they refuse to read the Bible. They refuse to look at what the Bible actually says concerning God. They want to think what they want to think. I know I've been there. You all have too. I can remember sitting back there, right in front of where Paul's sitting, hearing Brother Mayhem preach, and said, there's no way I'll believe that. And now I'm up here preaching it. And I'll tell you, that didn't happen because of my own free will. It happened because of the sovereign will and power and mercy of God. Well, God is both a just God and a Savior. Isaiah 45, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I want to tell you about the love of God. I want to tell you about the mercy and the grace of God. But if I tell you those things without making myself and you deal with the justice of God, then you've lost the gospel. You've lost it all totally. How can God be both a righteous judge and judge according to truth, sinners like us, and still be a loving Savior and loving Father? How can he do it? Here's the answer. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for who? For the sheep. And that's what he says. Then he talks about those hirelings. Now that's who Ezekiel's talking about here, those false shepherds. Verse 12, he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf scattereth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's an hireling and careth not for the sheep. You see, it's not a calling to him. It's not a ministry of God's grace and glory for the love of the sheep. It's just a job. And he says in verse 14, listen to this. He says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. Now that word know is a different word than what we use in our English language when we talk about knowing someone. All we're talking about is I know who they are, or I acknowledge them, I know their name. This knowing here is the same knowledge that exists between a man and a woman who are married. I mean, they really know each other. It's an intimate knowledge. And what he's talking about here is a spiritual, intimate knowledge of his sheep. It's a divine love. And he says, I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. They know me, he says. And he says in verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. There's that substitution again. He laid down his life for the sheep. He went under the wrath of God for the sheep, for their sins, to pay their sin debt. He says in verse 16, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, this Jewish fold. That's what he's talking about. Them also I must bring. Now, why must he bring them? Because they're his. They're his sheep. He redeemed them by the price of his blood. And they shall hear my voice. They're going to hear. Not everyone's going to hear. But the sheep will hear. They'll hear the shepherd's voice. And there shall be one fold. And there shall be one shepherd. Christ, the one true shepherd. Go back to Ezekiel 34. Now look what he says in verse 11. And I want you to notice the language here. Now, Ezekiel's prophesying during the time of the Old Covenant. Now, the Old Covenant basically had this kind of arrangement. God said to the nation Israel, I will if you will. Now, that's basically the arrangement of the Old Covenant in its kernel terms. I will if you will. And it was a failure. Anytime you see any type of arrangement like that, I will if you will, with sinners like us, it's going to be a failure. But now look at what he says here beginning at verse 11. This is new covenant language. This is the language of grace, sovereign grace. He says, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. If you take a sheep out and that sheep's lost, he'll stay lost. He won't search out. He'll wander. Lost. So how's he going to find the master? He's not. The master's going to find him. The shepherd's going to find him. I will both search my sheep and seek them out. Verse 12. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I. There's another I will. God will. Christ will that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep and will. I will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day, the day of sin, in the day of judgment, the day of wrath. Verse 13, he says, and I will bring them out from the people and I will gather them from the countries and I will bring them to their own land. And I'll feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. You see, it's all I will, I will. It's not I will if they will. He says in verse 14, I will feed them in a good pasture. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And upon the mountains, the high mountains of Israel, shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold and in a fat pasture. That word fat there means healthy. And shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. Verse 15, I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down. Do you see that? Saith the Lord God. This is all the work of God. I'll cause them to lie down. They're not going to do it on their own. Verse 16, I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and I will bind up that which was broken, and I will strengthen that which was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. That's those self-righteous sheep or goats, really what they are, not sheep. And verse 17, and as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Now, what's happening here is Christ is judging between his true sheep and false sheep. False sheep. He says, I'm going to judge between them. And verse 18, he says, seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and have drunk of the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. These false sheep, these false shepherds and false sheep, not only do they fail to feed the true sheep, but they'll trample down the good pasture. In other words, everything they do is cursed and defiled. Verse 19, and as for my flock, they eat that which you have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which you fouled with your feet. You see, that's what they have. That's all. That's the only thing that false religion can give to you. Nothing good comes of it as far as a relationship with God. You know, false religion can make immoral people turn over a new leaf and become moral. And that has benefits to society, but it has nothing to do with a sinner's relationship with God. That's what we're talking about. How God saves sinners. And so Christ's judgment between his true sheep and these false sheep carries on. Look at verse 20. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle. Because you have thrust with side and with shoulder and pushed all the diseased with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. This is part of his process of getting his sheep and pulling them out of the world. And therefore, verse 22, will I save my flock? Thank God for his salvation. Will I save my flock? And they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Now, who's he talking about here? Here's Christ, the true shepherd of the sheep. One shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Now, who's it going to be? Now, look at it. Even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. David's going to be their shepherd. Well, King David, at the time of this prophecy, has been dead for about 400 years. He who sat upon the throne of Israel in Jerusalem, he's been dead about 400 years. Who is he talking about? He's not talking about King David of old personally. King David lived about 1,000 years before Christ. But what he's doing, he's using David as a type and in prophecy to point forward to Christ, who is identified in prophecy of the Old Testament as the greater David, as the branch of Jesse, who's David's father, as the one who would sit on the throne, the Messiah. Look back at Jeremiah chapter 23 with me. Look at these prophecies, or this prophecy. And here in Jeremiah 23, he's talking about the difference between false shepherds and true shepherds, the one, and then the one true shepherd. And he says in verse 5 of Jeremiah 23, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. Now, again, Jeremiah was contemporary with Ezekiel. David, King David, had been dead 400 years. He said, but I'm going to raise unto David a righteous branch, one who would be made according to the seed of David after the flesh. And a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved. Israel shall dwell safely. This is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord. That's Jehovah, our righteousness, Tsidkenu. That's Christ, the branch of David. Turn to the New Testament, Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Look at verse 30. The angel Gabriel sent to Mary at Nazareth. Listen to what the angel says. The messenger of God says to Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 30. The angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus, Jehovah saves, or our Savior. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Christ, the one true shepherd. All of this prophecy applies and points to the Lord Jesus Christ as the one true shepherd. Go back to Ezekiel 34. Let me read the rest of this passage. The shepherd is the one who establishes righteousness for his people, and his righteousness, which is wrought through his obedience unto death as he lays down his life for the sheep, putting away their sins, establishing the only righteousness whereby God can be both a righteous judge as well as a loving father. And through him comes the salvation of his people, and he rules from his throne of righteousness forever and ever as the one true shepherd. He's the shepherd king. The shepherd Messiah. Well, look at verse 24. He says, and I, Ezekiel 34, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant, David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. There's that union of Christ and his people. The word of God is faithful and powerful to do what he said. That's why he said, I've spoken it. That means it can't be taken back. It can't fail. Verse 25, I will make them a covenant of peace. Peace between God and sinners. How? Based on the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of his cross. That's how peace is made. It's not peace made because you did something for God. Now listen to me. Should we serve God? Yes. Should we obey God? Yes. But it's not our serving God or our obeying God that makes peace between God and men. It's Christ who made peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Reconciliation between God and sinners is made because Christ was made sin, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He's the peacemaker. What our service and obedience to God is the fruit of the peace that he made. And so he said, I will make with them a covenant of peace. Now, how's he going to make with me a covenant of peace? Through the preaching of the gospel of peace. When the gospel of peace, when Christ is preached as the one who gave his life for the sheep and accomplished their redemption, then God the Holy Spirit brings his sheep into the fold. And he says, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, all their enemies. They shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. Now, you know what happens to a sheep that sleeps in the woods, don't you? He gets eaten by the wolf. But here he says they're going to dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. That's his sheep in this world. What is he saying? This one true shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, not only is the Savior and Redeemer and gatherer of his sheep, he's the protector of his sheep. We're safe in Christ. We're secure in him. He says in verse 26, I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. His hill is Zion. That's his church. I will cause the shower to come down in seasons, and there shall be showers of blessings. That's where this hymn that we sing comes from. Showers of blessings. How much of those are blessings? How many? Well, he says we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 27, and the tree of the field shall yield her fruit. You see, his people are going to be a fruitful people. Trees of righteousness, Isaiah said in Isaiah 61, verse 3, which are the planting of the Lord. And he says, and the earth shall yield her increase. They shall be safe in their land and shall know that I am the Lord. When I have broken the bands of their yoke, their bondage, that's what it's talking about. Remember Christ said, come unto me, all ye that are laboring and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. You see, he doesn't lay the law upon the backs of his people and threaten them. And he doesn't hire them out by mercenary promises of earned reward. It's all grace. It's all love. It's all gratitude. And that's what he says. I've broken the bands of their yoke, delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them, those false shepherds. Verse 28, they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, that they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. I will raise up for them a plant of renown. That's Christ. He's the plant of renown. He's the only one that deserves to be renowned. All glory and honor and majesty to him. And he says, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen anymore. He's the bread of life. He's the water of life. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. I believe the house of Israel there, ultimately, prophetically, typically, refers to spiritual Israel. God's elect out of every tribe and nation under the headship of Christ. You know, if you'll notice, if you'll go through the scriptures, and you'll notice that every prophecy of the hope of Israel that comes in the future is always the calling of a people under the headship of Christ. It's not just the calling of people. It's not the calling of a people to an earthly land. But it's the calling of a people under the headship of Christ. And then he says in verse 31, and you, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. God saves sinners, and he brings them to himself. And just like he said in John chapter 10, he said in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. All right.